running rampant. Have you seen it out there? It's crazy. We're living in crazy times, though. And you know, if you're not living with the Lord, in the Lord, and the Lord in you, you are going to be fearful. People are afraid of all kinds of things today. They're fearful of financial collapse. They're fearful of fires that will destroy their homes and businesses. They're fearful of floods, of hurricanes. I mean, check out the news in the last few years. It's been going crazy. Every year seems to outdo the one before. People are living in fear. You know, what I want to talk to you about today is a blessing that Christians have living in Christ. We sang a song, Peace Like a River. You know, we can enjoy that peace living in Christ. The storms of life that come can be calmed, just like Jesus did on that day on Galilee when his disciples were fighting the storm. Jesus was asleep in the boat. And when they finally woke him, just picture the look on Jesus' face of peace as he stood up and spoke words of peace to those angry waters. And now look at the fear on the faces of the disciples as that fear of the storm changed to a different kind of fear. A fear that encompasses respect. A fear that encompasses an awesome God. You know, God wants us to fear Him, not the storm. You know, we as Christians have an antidote to fear. And we all have one. It's called the Word of God. By spending time in this, His Word, somehow the storms of life seem to subside. You know, the very things that the world fears about, besides all those storms and fires and death, now they have a pandemic that they're afraid of. You know, I would not be telling you the truth if I didn't tell you when the pandemic first hit, I was somewhat concerned, if not fearful myself. And as a matter of fact, I do remember, as I watched the news unfold, finding myself fearing a bit and thought, whoa, what is happening? Where is this world going? Well, that was a year and a half ago. And a lot has changed in the last year and a half. Wouldn't you say? A lot. I remember thinking before the pandemic and in the years prior to that, thinking, how in the world could this country do what you see happening in the Revelation, where we as Christians would be taken out of our churches, possibly thrown in prison or worse? But you know, what's happened in the last year has changed that picture drastically. they shut our churches down. For something that has nothing to do with biblical truth. Should we have closed our churches? There was churches that didn't. I know I'm not here to answer that question. I don't know. I really don't know. It'll be interesting to ask Jesus someday. What I do know is that someday you and I may have to make a decision that we do, that entails doctrine. And we will need to make a decision that we don't want to wait till then to make it. We need to know today what our answer is. And we don't trust in what we can do. You know, Peter went through that avenue. Oh, he told the Lord, hey, the rest of these might leave you, but I will never leave you. You know, it's real easy to be confident in yourself. Boy, that's a big mistake. And Peter found out the hard way. No, friends, we need to be confident in Jesus and what He can do. Yeah, the storm coming. If Jesus is in our boat, even if He's asleep, oh, Jesus is never asleep in our lives, though. But even if He's asleep, we can trust that He knows when to wake up. You know, that is such an amazing story, because when you think about it, that storm had to be splashing water over the sides of that boat. And how did He stay dry and not get woken up by that cold water? You know, there's a whole lot more to that story that'll be fun to talk to Jesus someday and get the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. You know, as you read your Bibles and you look at the pictures that are being shared with us, I encourage you to do just what I did with you just now. And that is, look for parts of the story that you want to talk to Jesus about. Maybe it's Moses, something that happened in some of the writings he did. Maybe one of the other prophets. Maybe it's not even a prophet. Maybe one of the disciples. Maybe even just, maybe Lazarus. What was it like? I say that because what you're doing in thinking ahead to ask and talk to these people is you're not looking in the world around us today. You're looking forward to the kingdom of God that He's planning for you. He wants us to look and long for that. Friends, we're only going to get that if we read His word, if we delve into it and get interested in the stories that are there, not only to direct us to Jesus, but to give us insight on His mercy, on His grace, on His love. And in that process, we will gain a peace that goes beyond understanding. We can stand up in that boat knowing that Jesus is with us. We're not trusting in our rowing, our knowledge of getting that ship across. We're just in peace because Jesus is with us and He's in our boat. You know, there's a lot that's coming ahead, and I read in some of the books that Sister White has written, and I pulled out this two or three paragraphs out of Testimony Treasures, Volume 3. And it's entitled, The Last Crisis. We are living in the time of the end. The fast fulfilling signs of the times declare that the coming of Christ is near at hand. The days in which we live are solemn and important. The Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. Now, I want to just pause there for a minute and talk about that Spirit being withdrawn. You know, if for some time I have felt, and I'm saying within the last 10 or 15 years that I have felt that God's Spirit was slowly being withdrawn, well, this, she says that. It has been. And she wrote that 100 years ago. I saw it by things like mass murders that people in schools, kids in schools and different shopping areas, you know, just who knows where. And then some of the larger ones where it happened in, I think it was Vegas, and some of these are happening more often. And then what's happened in the last year has given me some insight that it must be even more so today because of what has been grasped, or what's a better word, embraced worldwide about this pandemic. It had to be orchestrated by an enemy, the devil. It had to be. We know that. But it's even so more, much so clear when you see it, how it's gone worldwide. It's not just, you know, in one locale, all the way down to individuals. And I say this because we don't need to worry about the Spirit of God being withdrawn from this world. And you might ask, why? We have the story of the talents. Remember the talent that was given, the one talent to that man? And what did he do with that talent? He didn't use that talent. Matter of fact, he didn't use it anyway other than dig a hole and keep it for his master. And gave it back to him. Well, he did give it back to him, but he was considered an evil servant, a wicked servant. And what was that talent done? It was taken from him, and what was done with that talent? It was given to those that had two or five, who had done something with their talents. Your friends, the Holy Spirit might be being withdrawn from them, but it's being multiplied to us. We don't have to fear that God is with. He doesn't want to withdraw His Spirit from us. He wants to increase it. He wants to pour out that latter rain. We are in the time when that latter rain is being poured out, friends. We don't have to worry about that. But we see it, what it's doing. People are doing things like they never did before because of that. It just tells us how close we are to the end. She goes on to say, plagues and judgments are already falling upon the despisers of the grace of God. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war, they're everywhere. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final moments will be rapid ones. Wow. Wouldn't you say some of the events that have happened in the last year have been fairly rapid? The conditions of things in the world shows that turbulent times are right upon us. The daily papers are full of indications of terrible conflict in the near future. Bold robberies are frequent occurrences. Strikes are common. Thefts and murders are committed on every hand. Men possessed of demons are taking the lives of men, women, and little children. Men have become infatuated with vice, and every species of evil prevails. Wow, we have seen that. We've been seeing some of that for years. Well, how many here have peace? We do. We have that peace. It's not something that we generate in ourselves. Like I shared with you a little earlier, that peace got jostled a little bit by watching some news, fake news. Friends, I even wonder if we should watch the news anymore, tell you the truth. You sure have to do it with an open mind and realize that it just may not be the truth. It's probably just a waste of time. Well, there is a storm approaching. By the way, that was on page 280 from Testimony Treasures, Volume 3. And this one here is from The Great Controversy, page 608. As the storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition. By uniting with the world and partaking of its spirit, they have come to view matters in nearly the same light. And when the test is brought, they are prepared to choose the easy, popular side. Wow. You know, I read that, I thought, how can someone that has sit in an Adventist church who has heard the truth of the three angels' message, the everlasting gospel, how could they jump ship? Doesn't make sense. Until you realize that just coming to church, sitting in a pew, and listening to a sermon doesn't get through. You have to, friends, you listen to this, you have to spend time alone with Jesus. It's so important. It's all about a relationship. Yes, you can come here and develop a relationship with Him. But there's some times that are coming up that require a relationship that cannot be broken. Would any of us that are married, would our marriages last if we just came and sat 1 hour a week with our mate and then said, see you next week? How long would those marriages last? Friends, Jesus looks at us as His bride. How well do you know? How well do you know Him? You know, Jesus doesn't want us to fear. Do you know how many times in the Bible He said, do not fear? Anybody take a guess? 365 times. That's one for every day. I just brought 15 to share with you. If you got your pencils, just want to jot down the text. The first one is Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you and with my righteous right hand. Here's Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 46, 1-3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Psalms 118, verse 6. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Boy, there's one to underline in your Bible. Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Deuteronomy 3:22. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. Luke 12:32. Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Lamentations 3:57. You come near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. Psalm 56:3-4. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Haggai 2:5. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Luke 12:7. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. If you didn't get those 15, come to prayer meeting this Wednesday. I'll have a copy for you. You know, the church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, in the last year declined in membership. They were receiving over $1 million every year for some time, and last year it dropped to 800,000 or some or less. It's, wouldn't you say that calls for a revival? What about a revival in our own church, or in our own hearts? I took a paragraph to share with you from Selected Messages, Volume 1. And it's entitled, Calls for a Revival. It's on page 121 in Volume 1. It's entitled, The Church's Great Need. A revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessing of the Lord, not because God is not willing to bestow his blessing upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give his Holy Spirit to them that ask him than our earthly parents to give good gifts to their children. But it is our work, by confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer, to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us his blessing. A revival need be expected only in answer to prayer. Do we pray enough? Do we really spend that quality time with our Savior? You know, with what's going on in this world, with the unrest and where it's headed, we all the more need to spend that quality time with our Lord and Savior every morning. Start our day with him and take him with you through the day, and you too will enjoy a peace that goes beyond understanding. Is being fearful a sin? Have you ever thought of that? Think about it. If you're fearful, are you trusting in Christ? Let me ask you this. Can you trust in Christ and be fearful at the same time? Something to think about, isn't it? How many here have a King James Bible? Let me see your hands. I'm going to read out of the New King James, but all of you, get your Bibles. There's different words for this. And turn to Revelation. And it is Revelation 21. And verse 8. Now, the New King James uses the word cowardly, but the King James uses the word fearful. And I want you to take a good look at where this group of fearful is included with. But the fearful, or as this one says, cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What do you think of fearful now? You know, even the thought of that doesn't bring fear to us, because we know we have Jesus. What he has given us takes away all fear. What is Jesus? What is God? If you were to say one word that describes God, what would it be?
Love.
Now, what does love do? It casts out all fear. So when you boil this whole thing down, what really matters is that we love one another. Those people out there that are in fear are never going to know Jesus from us unless we love them, unless we show them love. They will see the peace that we are experiencing and ask us, how do you do that? We'll get an opportunity to share Jesus with them. Friends, it's so important that we love one another. And we can only achieve that love. We can only acquire that love. We can only be given that love if we're spending time with Him who is love. Our closing song today is Anywhere with Jesus. Now, anywhere with Jesus, you don't have to be afraid. If He's in your heart, it doesn't matter where you're at. You don't have to fear. Do I get an amen on that? God is so good, friends. Let's stand together and sing Anywhere with Jesus. Father, what a gift of Jesus.